You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we know that certain things are necessary for our bodies. For example, we need air to breathe, and we need water to drink. Without them, we know we cannot live very long at all. Since Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish," he wants us to know that repentance is also vital for us, not for our bodies, but for our souls. So what is repentance? That's the focus today, so let's figure out what it is. What is repentance? It has two parts, contrition and faith. In other words, sorrow for sins and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. That's what repentance is. Going to the Augsburg Confession, part of our Lutheran confessions, it says this about repentance. True repentance is nothing else than to have contrition and sorrow or terror about sin, and yet at the same time to believe in the gospel and absolution that sin is forgiven and grace is obtained through Christ. So in a little bit longer sense, it's basically saying that repentance is contrition and faith. So God works sorrow within us. God gives us the gift of faith to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Then in the Augsburg Confession, it goes on and talks about the results then of repentance. For those who are sorry for their sins, for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ, it goes on to say, such faith in turn comforts the heart and puts it at peace. Then improvement should also follow, and a person should refrain from sins. Sometimes people get the idea that, I of my own power will stop sinning first, and then maybe somehow God will accept me. But we have no power to do that. So God has to work within us and make us sorry. God has to give us the gift of faith to trust in Jesus, and then he gives us also the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is changing our desire to want to go away from sin and also giving us the power to do that very thing. As we continue on in the sermon, we are going to go back to today's four assigned readings and take a look at part of each of them and focus in on the topic of God's call to repent. First of all, today's Old Testament reading was from the book of Jonah, but before we get right to the reading itself, think about the book of Jonah for a moment. In chapters 1 and 2, we know the true story about Jonah, how God commanded him to go to Nineveh, but what did he do? Instead, he went in the opposite direction. But we know that God intervened, though, with the great fish incident, a true story. And through the great fish incident, God changed him and got him going in the right direction. Sometimes to change the behavior of a child, it takes some radical action on the part of the parent. Sometimes to change people like us or like Jonah, it takes radical action like the fish incident. Can you imagine having one idea and then spending 3 days in the belly of a great fish? Do you think you might change your mind about what you were going to do? Well, God has his ways. Thinking about Nineveh, the place where Jonah was sent to, we have to think about, first of all, Assyria. So Assyria was the most powerful nation in the world at the time of Jonah, and we know from history that the Assyrians were ruthless people. And then thinking about Nineveh, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and it had over 120,000 residents, so a fairly big city. Thinking about Jonah's attitude toward the people of Assyria, and more specifically of Nineveh, Jonah did not want them to repent. Why is that? Jonah is thinking, dear Lord, those people are our arch enemies, so I don't want them to repent. Instead, I want you to wipe them out. I want you to destroy them. But again, with God's encouragement, Jonah finally went as God's prophet. He went to Nineveh, and he said what God wanted him to say. So going now to today's Old Testament reading, it said, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So Jonah told the people that God would overthrow them, that God would conquer them in 40 days. Even though rejection was expected, that's what I would have expected if I was Jonah. I would have thought there's no way those people are going to listen to what I'm saying. But yet, what did God do? God worked repentance in them. So make sure you catch what I just said. It's not that people themselves have the ability to repent. God has to work repentance in them, and he did that there with Jonah. Therefore, the people actually believed God's threat to overthrow them. They were sorry for their sins, and they were looking to God to be merciful to them, even though they did not deserve it. They were looking to God for mercy. And then it tells us that they showed their repentance in three ways. For example, someone can say, I'm repentant. It's easy to say it, but how did they show it there in Nineveh? The Bible says that they showed it by fasting, they showed it by putting on sackcloth, and they showed it by turning from their evil ways. Let's go on now to Psalm 62 as we focus again on the topic of repentance. A little more difficult here, I think, in this particular reading. But like the people of Nineveh, let's know that we have all done wrong and we cannot fix it. We cannot fix it. Kathy and I caught a little bit of the old Home Alone movie last night on TV, and it was the one part there where the lady that dealt with the birds all the time, she tells Kevin that for every good deed, it will cancel out a bad deed. And then on Christmas Eve, the good deeds count double. So if you do a good deed on Christmas Eve, you can cancel out two bad deeds. Isn't that the philosophy of the world, though? And many people go through life thinking, oh, if only I can do more good than I've done bad, it's going to be okay. It's a typical way to think. It's a logical way to think, but it just isn't true. God wants us to know we've messed up big time and we cannot fix it. Therefore, what is God doing? God is working by his Spirit through his word to show us the wrongs that we have done, to make us sorry for the wrongs that we have done, and to give us faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of those wrongs. So thinking here in Psalm 62, David wrote of his trust in God to save him from his sins with these words. David wrote, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." Since we are helpless to remove our sins, even as David was, let us always look to and trust in the triune God in his powerful work to save us, and then being saved by God's power, by God's grace, let us show forth fruits of repentance in our lives, even as those people in Nineveh did with their fasting, their sackcloth, and turning from their evil ways. Let's go on to the third part now as we come to today's epistle reading. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Spirit of God moved Paul to write these words, I believe, in order to make a sharp distinction between a drop of water and a bucket of water. Think about that, Cedric. I think I put a drop of water on you earlier. What if I took a big bucket and would have poured that on your head? Would that have been a little bit different than a drop of water? Yeah, that would have been a lot different. So he wants us to know, just as there's a sharp distinction between a drop and a bucket, so there should be a sharp distinction between this short life in which we are living and the fast approaching eternity, which is forever and ever. God moves St. Paul to write, "This is what I mean, brothers, the appointed time," in other words, the time that is left in this life, "has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it." Why should we be proceeding in all those ways? Because, he says, the present form of this world is passing away. How does that passage issue a call for us to repent? Paul was basically saying that marriage, mourning, rejoicing, buying, and dealing are things of this life here on earth, and yet he wants us to know that this life here on earth is passing away. In other words, the time of Jesus' return is drawing closer and closer and closer, so it is very important for everyone to repent, to not put it off. Even now, the Holy Spirit is working through the Word to expose people's wrongdoing, to cause them to be sorry, and to give them the gift of faith in Jesus. What's going on in today's world? I'm afraid that many are turning a deaf ear to the Word of God. We should continue to share that Word. We can't control whether they listen or not. But what about us, so? Let us gladly hear God's Word, and by His grace, let us eternally benefit from God's holy Word. Finally, we come to today's Gospel reading in Mark chapter 1. And I want to share just two verses here of the reading. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in connection with the gospel.'" So first of all, let's think about Jesus' timeline according to Mark. It's a little bit unusual in that we just celebrated his birth, and now he's already a full-grown adult and into his ministry, but that's how the Bible works, so we don't focus on the time in between. It's not so important. We know it's important that he came. We know it's important with his ministry. We know it's especially important that he came to take away our sins. But what about the timeline, though, according to Mark? John prepared the way for Jesus. Then Jesus' ministry began when he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus successfully resisted Satan's temptations. Then John was arrested. And then Jesus began in Galilee to call people to repent and believe. God wants us to know that the kingdom of God came near at the time of Jesus, and the same is continuing to be true today. Lenski made this comment about the kingdom being near. He wrote, "It is so close to the hearers of Jesus that they may enter it at this very moment." So how could they do that? Jesus went on to tell them, he said, basically, that God is going to work through his word to make you sorry and to give you faith in me, Jesus was saying. In other words, he was calling them to repent and believe, because those are the ways in which God would bring them into his kingdom. Regarding repent and believe, I stated earlier that repentance has two parts. It has contrition and faith, to make it real simple. So contrition will be sorrow for sins. So the two parts would be contrition and faith, but sometimes, depending on the context, Sometimes repent can mean both contrition and faith. Sometimes repent only means contrition, and that would be the case here in the Gospel of Mark. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, repent and believe. So repent is simply be sorry, and then believe is have faith in the Christ, in the one who took away the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit wants to work repentance and faith in everyone in connection with the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus. God wants us to know who Jesus is. He is God in human flesh. He wants us to know what he has done, that he has lived a perfect life in our place, and then he took our sins, he took our punishment, and he paid the entire price so that all can be with him forever. Sometimes we might think that we're not bad enough that we need what he did. But God wants us to know that the very best person in the whole world, the person who has sinned less than every other person, that person needs Jesus Christ. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if we could identify the person who has sinned the most, the person who has done the worst things the most times in the whole world, is that person without hope? By no means, because all of the rotten stuff that he or she did, all of it was put on Jesus Christ. He was punished for all the things that person did wrong, and now, through Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for that person too. Where are we at? We are somewhere between the one who has sinned the least and the one who has sinned the most. If this person desperately needs Jesus and this person desperately needs Jesus, and we're in the middle, then we desperately need Jesus too. And let us know that what he did is fully sufficient to take away the sin of the world. That is good news. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, open us to your work through the word, and then make us sorry, give us faith, and cause us to gladly rejoice in Jesus. Then move us to show forth your work of repentance in our lives in many and various ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.